Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
So good to see you. Can you reach out to God with me today? Come on, everybody, left to right. We just believe that God is with us. You know that. God is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, Prince of Peace. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you that your presence. Lord, peace is not something you send us. Peace is who you are. The result of your presence is peace. It's the peace of God. It's not the peace of this world. It comes and goes. It's the peace of heaven that is intrinsic to your presence. So, Lord, I thank you. Peace rules in our hearts today. Lord, I pray right now for anyone that's worried, any anxious hearts. Lord, we thank you that peace. That peace is able to sleep in a storm, and that peace is able to quiet a storm. It's the peace of God. And so, Jesus, we thank you that in that storm with the disciples, you were asleep. You taught us to rest in the midst of a storm. So, Lord, we thank you, anybody that is facing a storm right now, thank you, Jesus. We're not waiting to rest when it's over. We're learning to rest right now. And I thank you, God, your rest fills the heart of every life. That we are not in the rocking chair of worry, going back and forth, Father, but we are looking to you. We are adopting your posture, which is one of rest. And Lord Jesus, we know that you have the power and authority to calm every storm. We know you have the power and authority to quiet every loud, swirling wind. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We trust you. We bless you. We follow you. So fill every heart today with peace. Peace, peace, peace. Peace of God, your peace. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. They all said, amen. Come on, church. Can you thank God for peace? Thank him for his peace. Why don't you hug someone or handshake if it's more appropriate, but greet someone around you. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. You're good. So exciting. Conference is going to be amazing. We've got Dave Hall, who's a full Pentecostal man. We love it. We also have Steve Burgess, who I call Anglicostal. And it's going to be such a good time together. We're going to have an absolute blast. And I am so excited for the children of our church. I'm so excited for Oakland Lee for the investment. We just want to say thank you, everybody, for your investment in the church, that our children are going to grow up in a church where the priority on seeing our kids fall in love with God and follow God at a young age is really important. So thank you for your investment into the future of all our kids. So, we're talking about consecration. And last week we talked about the holiness of God. And really, you know, the holiness of God is the backdrop for the gospel. Without understanding the holiness of God, we really won't understand why we need saving. And the holiness of God shows us that God is perfect, everybody. He is perfect. And he is not changing. He's not lowered the bar. He is perfect. He's holy. He's creator God. And in light of it, Isaiah said, woe is me. As I look at the holiness of God, I realize I am not. And any people that recognize you're not holy without Jesus, anybody? Just a few, okay. We'll work on that. But as you see the holiness of God, we realize our brokenness. Because remember, this is not a motivational talk today, everybody. We are not here just trying to promote more motivation, unlock your inner champion. You can do it. Get your best version of you. You're amazing on your own. You don't need anybody else. You don't need any help. Well, we are not preaching that. That is not the gospel, everybody. We love you. We think you're wonderful, but you suck a bit. And we all need Jesus. We need some help that you can't get from within yourself by trying harder or being better. You need a Savior who died on the cross and did what you couldn't do for yourself. His name is Jesus, and there's no name above His name. He is the work of God in our life. And I'm excited about it. And this is the gospel. But what we're looking at today is that we've got the holiness of God, but we also must understand the justice of God. Because without understanding the justice of God, there is no need for the cross without the justice of God. There is no need for the work of Jesus dying on the cross without the justice of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. Are you ready? Do you have your Bible? I want you to grab out your Bible. If you're a guest today, welcome. We've got a big screen for you. You can read on that. But if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want you to get out your phone, get out your Bible. Let's own the Word of God together. And I want you to, if God is saying something to you, write it down. Whatever you sense God is saying to you, I believe He wants to speak to you, write it down. Amen, amen. So we're going to go to the book of Isaiah 24. And before we get there, the justice of God is vital, and we see this in the book of Isaiah, because an unjust God really is an unsafe God. And a God without justice is a God that turns a blind eye to sin. A God that turns a blind eye to sin is not a God of grace, it's a God of neglect. But if God is just, we now understand His grace. Because grace is not the absence of justice. And that's what we must understand today. I want to talk about the justice of God in the book of Isaiah 24, 1 to 5. Let's read along. Isaiah says, "See." Now, I've got to preface, this gets a little rough, okay? So don't sweat. It's going somewhere. That's wonderful. But read along. It says, "See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it." Yeah, real positive. "He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priest as for people, for the master as for his servant, for the mistress as for her servant, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant." Isaiah is prophesying not just the picture of the people of God, but he's actually looking at the whole world. It's now this cosmic universal picture of the state of the earth. And what we've got to see is that the justice of God means God does deal with sin. He is not neglectful. He's not absent. He deals with sin. And that's why the grace of God is so amazing. Because the grace of God means that, you know, have you ever had a speeding ticket? So many people lying right now. Wow, just straight lying in church. You ever had a speeding ticket? I never have. Yeah. I've also never lied. Yeah. But you know, when you get a speeding ticket, you get a fine. Okay. So the grace of God is not like in this example that the fine is overlooked. Oh, there's a fine, and you know what? We're just going to ignore it. you broke the law by speeding, which no one has done here. But that's what happens if you don't know, because you obviously don't know. When you go over the speed limit and police see you, you're breaking the law. Okay, so if then you get a fine, grace is not, we'll just ignore it. That's not grace. That's Greece. that's actually not grace. It doesn't matter. Oh, well, we'll just try again next time. That is not what the grace of God is. The grace of God is not, well, there's sin. Well, next time we'll get it right. No, the grace of God is like a speeding ticket. If you had a speeding ticket, grace would be someone else paying for it. The bill, yeah, it is nice. Thank you. Amen, Joe. I love that. Should all say nice more, yeah. The bill, the debt, hasn't disappeared. It has been paid for. This is grace. That God, in his mercy, took the debt that we should be paying, and he paid it in the body, in the death of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the gospel. The gospel is not our sin, just forget about it. No, the gospel is we are sinners, we are broken, we have fallen short, but God in his great mercy sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So grace is not neglect, it is not turning a blind eye, it is that God paid the bill. Therefore, the cross is the picture of the justice of God and the grace of God both at work. And so sometimes we would think that that there's a scale for sin. You know what I mean? You don't know what I mean. It's all right. Like I have a bit of sin, but they've got a lot of sin. You know what I mean? Like I've got a little bit, but you should see them. And there can be a tendency to start to scale our level of sin and look at other people like they're worse off because of the size of their sin compared to me, who's just got a little bit of sin. But if you have a lot of poison in your system or a little bit of poison in your system, either way, you have a problem. And sin is like poison to our soul. We are made to be holy. We are made to be righteous. And so the justice of God is that there is a right and a wrong. And every person here, we all know it. I mean, every one of us has justice built on the inside of us. We inherently know right and wrong. And if you don't know that, well, I'll just come and slap you, and then you'll realize that was wrong. But you just know that's wrong. I've crossed a boundary. I've done something wrong. So every human heart knows right and wrong, and the reality is every human heart is designed to be right with God. Every soul is designed to be in alignment with God, to be right with God, to be righteous. So the justice of God is on the unrighteous, but the protection of God is on the righteous. So the justice of God, number one, means that God deals with sin. Number two, it means he protects the righteous. It means that we come under the wing and the covering of God, who is just. It means you can trust him. A God that is unjust, you can't trust. That rhymes. Must be true. A God that is turning a blind eye to evil, a blind eye to sin, you can't trust. That is not what God is doing. There is sin in the earth. There is evil in the earth. But God is not turning a blind eye to it. God is not a God of neglect. He sent Jesus Christ as the inauguration of his new kingdom in the earth. And so his justice makes him a trustworthy God. Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge. Everyone say refuge. A refuge for the poor. A refuge for the needy in their distress. A shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. God's justice means you can dwell safely. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to fight your cause. You just need to stay under the wing of the Almighty God. And the thing about the justice of God is the place you want to be is right with Him. It does mean there's a level of fear of God. Because you do not want God as your enemy. It would be much better to have Satan as your enemy than God as your enemy. God is just, He is mighty, He is powerful, and therefore we must align to Him. He's not changing. He calls us to submit, consecrate, and surrender to Him. And when you do, that is the safest place you can be. The safest place is to be with God, right with God, aligned to God. We had this guy at school. I went to Northern Beaches Christian School. Shout out. And I remember at lunchtime, we would play touch footy with all the guys. And it wasn't touch footy. It was tackle footy at lunchtime, but we called it touch footy. And we would be out there playing, and we had this one guy called Rombom, and he's a Rombout, and he had no neck. He was just a mass of muscle, and we all knew, we just knew two things. Number one, if you're on his team, you're good. Everything's going to be fine. If you're not on his team, you're ruined. That's all we knew. So it doesn't matter how much skill you had, how good your feet were. If Rombom wasn't on your team, you're in trouble. It's very, very simple. And this is the reality of God, everybody. If you are with God, if you are right with God, if you submit and surrender to God and you have peace with God, you are safe. But outside of God, it is not safe. And that is the fear of God that we must have. Psalm 91, 1 to 2, it says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Proverbs 29, 25 says, The fear of man will prove to be a snare. But those who trust in the Lord are kept safe. God is trustworthy. And the reality of justice, and this is the last thing, worship team, you could join me. The reality of justice is there is the promise of restoration. And there is injustice in the earth. But Jesus is going to return. You know that? Jesus is coming back. And his return is not consolation for those who are followers of Jesus. It's not just consolation. His return means restoration.
His return means everything that is wrong, everything that is evil will be put right by God. That God is a good and just God. That He is faithful. And not one thing that has been out of order, God does not miss it. He will put every wrong right. Isaiah 27 verse 2 says, "In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit." It is the picture of God's restoration in the earth. And here's the thing, church. We are not sitting around waiting for God to restore. We are invited into reconciliation. We are called by God to begin to play our part, to be the church that carries the ministry of reconciliation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:16, 20. "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ." Listen, listen. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And He has committed to us the message, committed to us the message of reconciliation. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." Church, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of restoring people back to God. And this is the mission. We're not trying to escape this life. We're not trying to just wait for Jesus to return and just let the world go. Yeah, just, you know, it's gone to hell in a handbag. Whatever people say, it's ruined. Oh, who cares? No. The cross means that we have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to carry the ministry of reconciliation, the justice of God and the grace of God, both in equal measure. Not just justice and not just grace, both. The cross in full measure. And we are called to bring it to our neighbors, bring it to our families, bring it to our friends. I love hearing about Toby McDonald, wherever he is. Love that guy. And he's been praying for his friends in his school at Freshwater High. And God is moving one at a time. Been coming to the 6 p.m. One friend got saved. Another friend got saved. Another friend came who's never been to church. I remember hearing of a young guy just recently who's grown up in an atheist home. Was brought to church, has joined a connect group, is following Jesus. The ministry of reconciliation. Jess and I, we have a neighbor and we're praying for this neighbor. And I mean, I'll give you an update. Nothing has happened yet. But we're just continuing to pray and ask God for an opportunity. God, where's the moment? God knows the timing. And Jessen, you know, when we moved into this place, Jessen had a vision, and Jessen often has pictures and visions. I fear them, actually. And she had a picture of the word life. The word life. She saw life on our house, and she saw it jump onto the neighbor's house. And we've been praying for this neighbor, and it turns out this guy, he actually used to come to youth when he was about 13, 14. And he's on a journey right now, but we are praying that he would be reconciled to God. Church, this is the mission. And wherever you are, please don't think you're there just to do your job. You are there to be a minister of reconciliation. please don't think it, whatever street you live in, that you're there just to be a neighbor who minds their own business and just stay to yourself. Please don't think that's why you're there. You are there to be a minister of reconciliation. Please don't think your job, if you're in whatever sphere it is, that you're just there to do that skill. You are there to be a minister of reconciliation. That is the call on the church, to be a ministry of reconciliation to Sydney in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.